Welcome to the Goose. Once again, here we are back with you for another week.
Yay!
We have myself, Mark Canton.
Myself, Moira Brady Averill.
I'm Annie Gill.
And we also have a guest today.
James Moran.
James Moran.
James Moran.
Very welcome, James. Rory was coming in from Amsterdam and he is just too tired. The poor man.
We all know how that goes, Rory.
Yep. What? Yeah. He is worn out from Amsterdam.
Oh.
we'll just move on.
No. Oh, that's, I was planning to spend the whole hour talking about that.
Oh, okay. Well, let's go for it then.
So, anyway, I'd say Rory probably started with his girlfriend in Amsterdam about, I'd say, an hour after they got off the plane.
You know what's great, James? You're here.
Yeah.
Because then we're behaving ourselves, obviously.
You don't know Rory, though, do you?
Is he the other one?
Yeah, he's the one. He's
the other guy.
Is this...
He's the guy.
He's the other one. Yeah. I know him.
That's a resounding
I know him.
Affirmation of Rory.
That's what most people.
Fortunately, James's mic is just slowly falling down. If we try and get it near his mouth, then it's just going to slowly fall down.
That's fine.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Are you comfy? Is everyone comfy? Is everyone comfy and with it? We're drinking some very fancy sparkling water.
San Pellegrino.
Yeah.
This podcast is not brought to you by San.
We're just enjoying it.
I cannot stand sparkling water.
Looks like I got. And I'm double fisting. I just poured one for Mark.
Yeah.
I went to a wedding in the Swiss Alps, or the Austrian Alps? Who knows?
Ooh.
And it was Austrian. And they don't know what still water is there. Like, they just, all water is sparkling water. And so, like, we were in the hotel the first night we got there, myself and a few friends, and the guys I ordered drinks. I just said, can I just get a water? And the woman came back with the sparkling water. She undid it, and I was like, oh, no, sorry, I meant still water, like, just tap water. And she pointed at the label and was like, it is mild!
Which, I love the idea.
It is mild! Come on, you sissy man, what do you want?
Mild. But this is like you obsessed with spicy soda.
Right? Spicy.
Or spicy drinks.
Yeah, that was my friend's daughter who referred to sparkling water the first time she tasted it. Says, this water tastes spicy. Yeah. Which it does.
Yeah, Eric, but that story I don't love sparkling water that much, but it's a nice change from regular water. It's a nice refreshing change. But I didn't grow up with it. Like, I didn't grow up drinking sparkling water. Did you, Moira? I feel like it's not really done in America.
I did. I grew up. I didn't drink sparkling water. I drank seltzer.
Seltzer.
That's my mom was like, glass of seltzer. And I'm like, I'd love some seltzer, mother.
Did you have the Poland Spring seltzer water?
Different flavors.
Yeah.
But they're not really flavors. It's more of an essence.
But it's kind of
pomegranate, lemon. Doesn't taste like lemon that much, but a little bit.
It's because it's not sweetened. It's just like the flavor of it without it being like, it's not like soda. It's just. So when you're a kid and you go over to someone's house and that's all they have,
it's such a bummer. It's
God.
You know, and remember Country Time Lemonade?
Yes.
Well, after swimming.
I used to eat that.
I used to secretly eat Country Time. It's a powder, James. Oh, it's a powder. Annie and I ate.
Okay. I was actually.
You ate it.
We ate it, like spoonfuls of it. Like,
I was writing an essay about this today. So before I moved to Ireland, I didn't know what squash was. To me, squash was a gourd that you would have in the summer and autumn months. And we, in America, don't have anything like what you would call squash. We don't have a concentrated juice drink. All of our concentrated juice drinks come in powdered form, like Kool-Aid. Country Time Lemonade, Kool-Aid. Crystal Light
is the equivalent to squash.
Yeah, and it basically is. It's like anything to make a flavored water, but it doesn't come in jugs. And I had no idea what it was.
And I used to come to Ireland in the summer as a kid, and I still don't know. I didn't know what squash was till I moved here. I went to a party in Wexford, like week two of living in Ireland full time as an adult, quote unquote, and I drank a bunch of blackcurrant squash because I just thought it was juice.
Without diluting it.
I was like, this shit's crazy. I'm so hungover.
But what did you say? You had a great line about a year ago in your house when you had a friend visiting from Canada.
Yeah.
And you said something like, do you want some of this? It's squash and you'll never drink water again.
That's true.
And it is. It is kind of true.
So, you have to keep it out of the house.
Well, I can't buy it. It's like not having sweets in the house, you know? Like, I can't have squash. But it is actually one of my true pleasures to go to a pub on a weekend. If you're out in the country somewhere, like if we're visiting Connor's uncle in Skibbereen or something, to go to a pub for lunch and to get a pint of squash.
Orange squash.
Oh, it just is like one of the happy moments.
My mother is English, but she used to, as a child, go on holidays to Ireland, and then her friends would never believe her when she got home that there was such a thing as red lemonade. Like, why? Why would there be a red lemonade? That doesn't make any sense.
But what is red lemonade?
Is a thing in the West, right? Like, it's a...
Well, I think you can get it here, too, oh, yeah. In the East.
Is it,
it's all around Ireland, red lemonade.
Is it, like, flavored lemonade?
No, it's just tasty.
I've never seen it before.
You get brown.
You get brown lemonade?
Yeah, they're
brown lemonade. Mead.
Really?
Yeah. It's in some shopping center. Brown.
And does red lemonade, like, would they sell that downstairs in Grogan's?
I suppose it's a bit of a rarity, but...
Where? What?
In the pub downstairs.
Yeah, they only sell it in pubs. Do they?
Really?
Yeah, it's probably hard to get, like...
You could get a bottle of TK red lemonade.
Do they?
Well, in my youth.
Does it turn your... tongue red?
Your tongue's red. Yeah. Anyway.
Well.
That's a good point.
Fair enough. And also, what about that drink that's is really big in Scotland?
Iron Brew.
Oh, Iron Brew.
Iron Brew.
I cannot wait. I'm going to Scotland in a couple weeks and I'm going to try it. I cannot wait.
What is Iron Brew?
It's
I don't know what it's supposed to taste
you.
Like.
It's really bad.
Something
it's
bad.
Not,
so,
yeah,
it's, but it's a soda. It's not like a. It's not a.
Yeah, it's a fizzy drink. Yeah, yeah. You can also get Iron Brew bars.
It's sort of
look
like,
out for them. They're just sugary
and
bars.
Have it deep fried.
That's like chewing on a Mountain Dew. That's what that
is.
Oh,
God. There's in the Bahamas, there's a kind of soda that is almost worse than Mountain Dew. It's supposed to be like a citrus flavored soda, but it's neon yellow and just the sweetest thing. And they have one that's a pink one, and they're just basically like yellow soda, pink soda.
Oh. And it tastes like amphetamines.
It's the kind of thing that like my 10-year-old brother couldn't get enough of.
It tastes like amphetamines feel.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Exactly. That's exactly what it tastes like. Yeah.
Pink soda. It tastes like amphetamines feel.
Yeah.
That's their slogan, all right. Well, who's had any adventures this week?
I just got back from London and I was very sick before that.
You were better in London though.
Yeah, I was better.
And how did you find the big schmoke?
So much fun. I had a great time. And I'd like everyone not listening in London right now to know that I love you all and I had the best time. And thank you so much for showing me a wonderful weekend city.
Did you see any sights?
Yeah, we did. Tate Modern, Tate Britain, Barbican. We went and saw a gig on Sunday. And then the sights beyond that, I remember a dragon.
That might have been on the news,
wait,
that dragon.
I thought St. George got rid of that, no?
Wasn't
that the whole...
There was some dragon that freaked me out in a statue. I remember that. And then I saw my sister. Saw my friend Adam Cooper. I hadn't seen him in 12 years. We went to college together.
And do you still like him? It's always weird.
He's
to see
so
him.
Great.
Okay.
He's so great.
Good.
I've got a picture of him. We ate salami in the Cock Tavern. Me, Adam Cooper, and Gareth.
Bliss.
I'm so sorry.
Heaven.
It was great.
Sounds like heaven.
He's a great guy. So, and what else? Yeah, the sights were astounding.
James, have you had any exciting adventures in the past 7 days?
I just could talk about the more about London, the sights of London.
Okay, sorry. Tell us more sights.
And then we went to, and we met some people, and we had brunch, and then another day. And
James, do you have any stories from the past 7 days? What have you been up to?
I was in Sligo.
Oh.
For the day.
For one day?
For 4 hours.
For 4 hours? What did you, why did you need to go to Sligo for 4 hours?
It's long and bureaucratic.
Oh.
My friend had a ticket to go to Sligo from a month ago. And then when we were going up, we spent so much time arguing with the people. They were, why'd you buy your ticket a month ago to go today? And then we missed our train. Going up. So we were supposed...
Why are you planning your life?
Yeah.
Why are you organized? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, basically. Who plans to go to Sligo?
Who plans these days to go to Sligo?
Yeah, you normally just wake up on a Saturday morning and go, I'm going to Sligo today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we were originally going to go for 8 hours, but then the next train was 4 hours. So
that's crazy. Oh, did they give you your money back?
No, because we still had the ticket.
Yeah, but like they argued with you so much that you couldn't get the proper train.
Yeah.
That's awful.
What did you do in Sligo for 4 hours? What's the highlight of a 4 hour trip to Sligo?
There's a museum, an art museum.
Yeah.
Which is like the Tate Modern.
The Guyerium, are you talking about?
What?
Did you go to
the Guyerium? Or
the which?
The Guyerium. There's a great art scene in Sligo.
Are you making up that word?
The Guyerium. Is that a museum all about guys?
No, it's a place that friends of mine go every couple of months to do like the Frey Aqua Treats, and it's like an art space, and they have a festival there called Graceland. And I don't know if they did it last year. But...
I don't get it. Is it a joke?
It's not a joke. I'm just like, why are you throwing all of these confusing words in something called like, why are you putting them together? I don't understand.
It's just Sligo. It's just.
But you know, it's.
No.
Did not go to the Guyerium.
No.
Sligo.
Everything Guy.
Everything Guy. So what else happened?
That's really.
So funny. And then you saw Sligo.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
came back.
Went to Abercrombie.
Ooh.
What is this? Yeah. Is the Abercrombie?
William Butler Yeats.
The guy was too friendly.
He's what?
People are always really friendly with me in shops. So when I asked to go to the toilet, he just went no, and then paused and laughed, and it was just.
He was saying no as a joke.
Yeah, which I don't need.
Yeah, know? Yeah. I could do without that joke, thank you.
I don't find that funny, so.
Yeah. Oh, it was nice in a way. It was a small town. Because when I went into the shop to buy M&Ms,
peanut or regular?
Peanut.
Thank God.
I went, can I have those? How much are these? And he saw a 10 euro in my hand. And he went, those would be 10 euro. Paused. And laughed. And then went, because you have 10 euro. Or something like that.
I think we need to get this guy on the show.
Yeah, that guy obviously. I think maybe makes...
These are two people.
Oh, that's just the sense of humor in Sligo.
One is in Dublin, one is in the way. I'm just saying, a lot of people in shops.
Oh, I see.
It's a shop way rather than a...
Well, see, it's only with me. Like, has it ever happened with you?
I can't actually think of
They always do it. And if I don't go to a shop for a long time, they'll comment. They'll be like, I haven't seen you in a while.
You're kind of a celebrity. Were they saying that up in Sligo? I haven't seen you in a while, James.
Do they pass your name around in the shop network? Oh, he just came in here. He's in Sligo now.
Yeah, tell him a joke.
Tell him a joke.
He's a joker. He loves that. He loves that one.
I think they're mistaking not the truth for a joke there.
Yeah.
This is just not the truth.
Wait a second. Come on. But there's something so funny about not the truth. Something so funny. Annie.
Oh,
my turn.
Yeah, what have you done?
Well,
justify your existence to us.
Seriously. I had a fun weekend. Friends got married in St. Anne's Park outside.
Me too.
What?
Oh my god.
I didn't even see you there. Mark and I were at the same wedding this weekend. And it was lovely. It was that beautiful, beautiful, sunny, hot day. And we all stood outside in the park and witnessed our friends get hitched.
Then there was a bizarre moment afterwards where some of our friends said, hey, let's go to this park across town. It's like, we're standing in a park. Why are we going to go to a different park? Everyone got into cars and went over to that park. I cycled all the way across town to this park. When I got there, no one was there. I rang Annie. She said, oh, yeah, we're in town. Yeah, we're having a drink. So well, I that was a fun adventure for me.
Canton story.
I wasn't into, yeah, somewhere between Canton getting on his bike and thinking, I better hoof it across town because it's pretty far and everybody else is in cars. Everyone was like, that'd be really stupid to go to the other park, so we'll just go into town.
Yeah.
But then...
Well, I got to go to the other park.
Yeah.
What was the park? Was
the other park?
Dartmouth Park.
Dartmouth
I've
Square.
Never been.
Dartmouth Square.
In Ranelagh. Yeah.
It's near you.
Yeah, and that's why we were all going to go there. We realized we were running short on time before going for dinner. You know, the usual friend situation where 65 people have opinions about things and where the one's what's going. And you just need someone to... I don't actually know who made the final decision not to go to the park, actually. Anyway, it all worked out.
Except for me.
You love exercise.
You got there eventually.
Yeah. I was pretty smelly by that stage, though. But, you know, everyone else had to deal with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Do you ever think about that? I get that way sometimes at the gym, and I'm like, everyone at the ellipticals are moving away because I smell bad. Do you ever think about that?
I thought it was because you're farting.
That.
That too.
Like, well, yeah. Let's be honest about what kind of smell it is. Like, Canton just had a, like, pongy body odor.
You mean, no, but this, I also have sometimes I have stinky armpits, and I feel guilty.
Yeah, who doesn't? Everyone every now and then has stinky
armpits. Yeah, you're on the ellipticals.
When I, yeah, but like, you know, when you're like, oh, I'm starting out this way. This isn't going to be good.
It's just going to get worse from here.
Also, on the, can I just tell just such a quick story?
Yes.
I went and took the Gatwick Express yesterday.
Mazel tov.
I went to see my sister. She's in London on business. So we hung out and we had cheese. And I just, there was enough
hey,
cheese.
Sis, do you want to hang out and have some cheese?
So, yes. Yeah. That was part of the deal. She was jet lagged. Let's have some cheese. That's easy. That's easy to do. Doesn't
cheese,
take a lot of
cheese
thought.
Cheese is one of the best things to, for getting over jet lag.
It is. Falling asleep in the park.
It's a scientific fact.
So there was a load left over, and I was like, oh, I could just throw it away.
What can you explain to us, please? Was this like cheddar cheese? Was this
no, that would be totally
string cheese?
Like uncomplicated.
Was it brie?
It was stinky Normandy brie.
Oh, wow.
So there was loads left, and I just didn't want to depart with it because it was delicious, but I didn't want it, you know, and there was, just, anyway... So then I was on the Gatwick Express, and it's like rush hour to get to the plane station. It was calling it the airport. I'm like, the plane station.
Also known as an airport.
And, you know, if you're traveling from London and it's that hour, like, it's, the trains are packed, right?
Oh, yeah.
So Gareth and I just sort of walked through, and just, we ended up having to stand the whole time, and it was, like, mercilessly hot. The cheese smelled so bad. But the best part was... That where we ended up having to stand was for us good because there was like the one window that was open on the train. It was near, you know, this where we were. But then we ended up standing in first class and had like the worst smelling bag for like 35 minutes. Like people who paid a lot of money.
Yeah, but the first class people are used to the fancy cheeses.
Yeah, but are they used to the smell like not having a time and place? You know, like
yeah.
What is that?
Yeah, it's not always on a train that you want to have.
Could you identify that smell?
I also find...
Could you?
I'd say so.
They're like, that is a funky brie.
That's a brie cheese. I'd say, though, the frustrating thing is that cheese doesn't smell bad if you get to eat it. But if it's, like, someone else's cheese...
Someone else's cheese.
I find that...
My farts are delicious.
Yeah, but someone else's farts... No.
Annie Gill's autobiography, Someone Else's Cheese.
Cheeses I have known is the first volume. Someone else's cheese is the second volume.
Yeah.
And release my cheese is going to be the third.
Release the cheese.
It's a justice tale.
It's a tale of justice and revenge.
Justice and revenge.
Yeah.
Both two of my favorite things. Well, I mean, not to read about, you know.
No, just to carry out.
Just in life.
You know what that smell is, first class? That's justice and revenge.
Thank you. That's totally what I was thinking. I was like, fuck you, motherfuckers.
Smell my cheese.
Smell it.
What the hell? I don't smell my cheese here. I don't know what's wrong. You could have just been like, it's not my bag. Sorry, it's not my bag. No. Who put that cheese there?
Who put that cheese I'm holding there?
I can't even eat dairy.
Who put this in my hands?
It wreaks havoc on my stomach.
Speaking of inflicting things on first class passengers.
James, no.
This week we were going to talk about winding people up. And what is that all about? When you decide to stir the pot to get, try and get a rise out of somebody. Why do people do that?
I wonder why. It's good that we have you here, actually, because you studied psychology. So there's like, I mean, maybe
we're gonna get a medical answer.
We got an expert in house. Expert.
Yeah. James, explain us everything now in the next 40 minutes. Thank you.
All of it. Tell us everything. You only get 39 minutes.
Oh. I just think it's like a joke, but easier. You know, you don't have to care if they laugh.
Yeah, you're often trying to get people angry.
Yeah,
for you. I have. Moira's winding me up by drinking my sparkling water now.
I love the visual of it because we don't really say winding up in the States.
Yeah.
Like, we wouldn't refer to it as winding somebody up. We say, like, you are annoying somebody. We're teasing somebody.
Yeah.
Or
being a fucking moron.
Exactly.
Jerk.
But, like, winding
busting
people
your
up
balls.
Has such a yes. great. Yeah, busting your balls. Had such a great image of, like, you slowly
increasing
wind somebody
the tension.
Up so that, yeah, they just sort of explode and, like, come all the way back down. But it's something you do to your parents a lot when you're little, isn't it? I mean, that's sort of where you start doing it, isn't it?
How did you wind your parents up when you were little?
Well, just, like, by doing annoying things, like trying to, you know, are we there yet?
Yeah.
And, like, knowing they don't like those questions. And
But then you're annoyed as well. So is it really one? You know, you're annoyed. You're asking that because you're like, oh.
Yeah. I guess God. I do it now. I guess I didn't. I guess you have to. I guess the whole idea about winding up is you know that you're being annoying.
One of the experts and one of the most victimized people I know are Robbie and Nikki. And when we were in college, Robbie was great at winding Nikki up. He was doing a show. Nikki was directing a show, and like this was the first show he was directing. He was really, tensions were running high. He'd written this show, so like Nikki would be in the box, like frantically trying to get stuff ready in the lighting tech box, and like trying to get all these sound cues. And Robbie would like beckon me, and then we'd stand in the stairway so Nikki couldn't see us from the box, and then Robbie would just. Just every, like, 10 seconds, we're like, Nikki! And then Nikki would be like, yeah? Robbie? Yeah? Robbie, where are you? Yeah, what do you want? Robbie, what do you need? What do you need? Robbie! Silence from Robbie. Then eventually, Nikki! Nikki! Robbie! What do you need? I'm trying to work this stuff in the box. I'm trying to get the sound cues done. Robbie, where are you? Nikki! And then Robbie was playing music in front of house before the show. And so Robbie, I don't know, Robbie was behind this curtain. All the audience walked in and he was just playing guitar. And he was playing it quieter and quieter, like intentionally so that people wouldn't be able to hear the music. And eventually just, is Robbie over there in the corner playing music? And then he'd go into Nikki and be like, Nikki, just the warm-ups before the show, can you just keep them down? Like, because I'm trying to play my music out there. And so it's like, yeah, okay, I'm sorry, Robbie, I'm sorry. We'll keep it quiet. But then Nikki was doing these kind of slightly over-the-top warm-ups because he was getting so tense about this show, the whole show. He kind of almost be shouting at people in the warm-ups, like, okay, everybody stretch. Everybody get warmed up. Jesus Christ, we're going to do the show. All right. So then I had a word with Nikki. I was like, Nikki, I think it's a bit overboard on that stuff. And then another friend of ours, Hoobs, had a word. I was like, oh, yeah. And then and we told Robbie, like, Robbie wasn't even in the show. And Robbie was like, okay, so you've had a word with him? And you've had a word with him? Cool, I'll have a word with him too. Just it's all right, Robbie. He's already got the message. No, I'll say it to him too. Listen, Nick, you've got to fucking knock this on the head. So that was that.
But is winding up like something like, I'm trying to sort of decipher. It is something where the person is not aware that it's happening, but you kind of see a weakness and you go for it.
Yes.
And when does it turn malicious? And is the maliciousness still winding up?
Well, it's weird because sometimes like
that sounds like really funny, like the whole.
Yeah.
But then is it always malicious? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, is it you? You guys are Irish, right?
Mm-hmm.
What the.
Like, so, okay, for example, I don't know if this is winding up, right? When I was little, I lived in L.A., and our bathtub, being in L.A. had nothing to do with it, except that it was very warm outside, which will come in handy later in the story. But We had one of those baths where if you hit the top of the bath spout, the shower would come on. Like, that's how you turned the shower on.
Mm, those are mystifying the first time I went to the States. It's like, fuck? How, what do I have to pull, press, lever here?
So, my little brother was in the bath once and my mom hit it by accident. The shower came on and my little brother, who was about 2 at the time, freaked out. You know, the shower just surprised him and went on his face. And so from then on, my little brother was terrified of the shower. Like, the shower was going to, you know,
attack him like the sharks
he was thinking about in the bathtub going through the drains.
So my sister and I were in the bath with him and I said, "Oh, Charles, the shower is coming." And he did a little, you know, like a little howl, like, "No." And I was like, "That was fun. That's a big reaction." So then we kept doing it. And then, you know, we kept being like, "Oh, it's okay. It's okay. Don't worry about it, Charles. Like, we'll save you. We'll save you." But then it just, we kept doing it because he kept getting, you know, we kept having this huge reaction from this old 2.5-year-old who pretty soon was like in tears, like, "Let's get out of the bath, quick, it's coming, it's coming." We all jumped out of the bath and like, and I'm like, just as we're putting on towels, like, "It's okay, put your towel on." "Oh my gosh, it's coming." Like, ran. And like, by the end of it, my brother was in the garden, in his towel, in tears.
What does he need to shower now?
No. He never goes in the shower. No, he does. He's fine with the shower now.
He cries but every time.
Everybody
cries in the shower.
It's more, it's the place to cry.
Moira A. Brady Averill's autobiography, Everybody Cries in the Shower.
It's,
in parentheses, while masturbating.
Crying in your shower with Moira.
It's actually your self-help guide.
Anyway, and I remember it as one of those things that I'm most upset about. I can't believe that I was
so cruel.
So mean, but it's a power thing. That was a power thing. But I don't know that that counts as winding up. I think that counts as being mean.
Yeah. Bullying. Yeah, where does winding up cross over with bullying?
Yeah.
Quite a lot.
God, I sound like such an awful
person. Someone else who could wind up Nikki was his flatmate. The first of these incidents was before they lived together. Paul was over at a party in Nikki's. I was there too. And Paul decided to take all of Nikki's possessions from his kitchen and just put them in the bathroom one by one during the party. So Nikki was like trying to be all serious and trying to chat up this girl. And Paul was just walking past like with his microwave and stuff. Paul, what? Anyway, yeah, I really like that new Radiohead album. What, Paul, what are you doing with the... Anyway, yeah. What was I talking about? But then Paul moved in. And there was one day Nikki rang up Paul and said, "Paul, my family's coming over to the flat in about an hour. Can you just, I'll be home in about half an hour, but can you just like tidy up the flat a bit, you know, whatever, just tidy, you know, so it doesn't look like a pigsty." Paul's like, "Absolutely, no problem, Nikki." Paul, I think, tidied up the flat a bit, but then he took a porn mag and sellotaped it all around the flat on every single surface.
God, I feel so bad for this Nikki guy.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Fucking long.
No, he deserves it. So Nikki arrives home like just before the family's arriving. He sees the porn everywhere. So he runs around the flat frantically tearing all the pornography off the walls. And then like he's got it all, but Paul was like, "Well, there's one more, Nikki, and I'm not going to tell you where it is." So we had to tear. Yeah, I had to go run around, freaking out.
That was actually like, there are things I really don't like teasing people to be mean. Like, I don't like winding up when it is actually like a very malicious vindictive. Like, that's kind of okay. But you know, there are things that other people do, like practical jokes. Like, I went to boarding school in college, so we were doing practical jokes all the time, and I often don't like them because I think they're just a little bit too mean. But my friend was really OCD about her stuff in her room, and she would have, you know, everything was out on her desk the way she liked it, and like everything in the proper order. And we like to go in and just keep it incredibly neat, just everything reversed. And she would walk in and immediately freak out. Like, immediately. Like, we'd move like posters from one wall to the other, and everything would be like as neat as she left it.
It's interesting. I guess as a person that like winds people up and then is wound up, I mean, just anything that's like breathing in and out for me, you know, those two things.
Yeah.
But I don't really know if it's conscious so much. Like, these sound like very purposeful things.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I get wound up because I'll be like really upset about something I think is like you know, someone says that's like misogynistic or racist, or I'm the butt of a joke because like I look, you know, I dress like a clown, 4 feet tall, and you know, like that sort of thing. People, I'm a target, but I also go for it. Like I'll be
you
like,
take the bait.
I take the bait, and I also will like go and like wind people up. Like Rory and I, we have our sort of our dynamic, or you know, so it's sort of interesting the idea of it being like a subconscious thing more so than. It just being like, this is like, I'm moving a poster. I'm going to put these, you know, pictures of clowns all over my roommate's room because he's Nicky, you know? I'm going to shit on the floor because he's Nicky. You know, Nicky deserves it. Trust me, Nicky deserves it. It sounds like, how the hell is Nicky the only one in these stories? It's like the recipient.
Just something, it's just something just, about him.
You, there's, you, I think you are more prone to being wound up as well.
Yeah.
Because some people don't mind, they just if they don't have a good reaction to it. But if you take the bait, you're more prone to be.
Yeah, I have a friend who is very easily wound up. And one day we sat him down and we just said, the reason we make fun of you is because you get so angry. So why do you get angry? You must know at this stage. And he goes, I always realize. But what I try to do is I try to turn the joke back on myself by getting too angry. But then I realize no one has realized that I'm joking, so I get angry.
And it's so just, good. Like the inner life of this man.
Yeah, and what was really the pinnacle was we were at a friend's house and they had a turtle, and the turtle bit his finger. And he thought, in his monologue, he explained this, wouldn't it be funny if I got angry at the turtle? And then he just spent about half an hour shouting at the turtle and like trying to hold it underwater and stuff.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
And like he tried to just show the turtle who's boss.
See, maybe this is why not to wind people up too much. Or not give them turtles after they've been wound.
Did the turtle laugh or?
it was underwater. Its head was underwater. So.
You got me.
Getting swirlies.
It's like that analogy, like the Michael Douglas and falling down. Sounds like kind of. Like that turtle situation, like he's had enough. He's leaving his car on the highway and he's going to McDonald's and he's not going to take it anymore.
Wait, the turtle does that? Very slowly. I'm sick of this, goddamn.
It must be so hard to be a slow animal like that. How do you walk out and slam the door?
Pixar presents this summer Falling Down Very, Very Slowly. I want. What do you mean? It's 11 a.m. It's past breakfast. I want the breakfast option. I came in the door at 10. It just took me an hour to get over to the counter. I should be allowed to have a breakfast option.
He can't hold a gun. He's a turtle. So it's just like, what is his...
That annoys him even more. Yeah. Oh, God. Can't hold a gun. I'm going to slowly bite this guy's finger.
It's so funny because you don't think of turtles as being like having mean voices like that. You think of turtles having nice, dopey, slow voices.
I like this turtle.
I like this angry turtle.
What happens to the turtle?
So he goes and he tries to pick up a gun. What happens when he tries to pick up a gun?
Oh, well, he'll push his foot against it. It'll go off.
And he'll shoot his best friend.
His best friend. And then he's being hunted for his best friend's murder. It just gets worse and worse for this turtle.
Is Barbara Hershey, like...
Barbara Hershey is in it. And Robert Duvall.
Yeah. They're the crime-fighting team. They lead the crime-fighting team.
Do they? I thought Barbara Hershey plays his wife. No.
Oh. Does she? Let's check IMDb.
Yep. Yeah, Barbara Hershey plays his crime-fighting wife.
Yeah,
you're both right, actually.
Oh.
What's the... Yeah, falling down very, very slowly. Okay, well, that's good. I mean, Hollywood, if you're listening.
Yeah.
That's done deal. Yeah,
Pixar,
thanks very much.
Yeah, done and done. Sign on the dotted line.
Yeah.
Royalties are ours. So I have a fun quiz to play.
Oh!
Yeah, let's do that.
I'm going to head out early. I missed Shonen Knife 2 weeks ago, but I'm not missing Speedy Ortiz tonight.
These are not Moira's made-up bands that she did last week.
Yeah, this is actually a real band. So this game is a radio version of the crowd pleaser Fictionary, where I'm going to give you a word that you've probably not heard of, and you need to come up with a definition of what you think it means. You can choose to use it in a sentence if you like, or not. Then I will read the real definition, and I'll vote on who gets closer to the real definition.
Okay.
Exciting.
And without, yeah. So let's. I'm going to open with the one that I thought would be appropriate for Rory. So Rory, if you're listening, I just gave it away.
What?
Now you're all going to know what it means. Mm. Anyway, you still have to. And when you're doing your definitions, try to make them amusing for our listeners, people. The first word.
Commit. That's the theme tune.
Focus, focus. The first word is kermuring. Kermuring.
Can you spell it, please?
C-U-R-M-U-R-I-N-G.
Kermuring.
Kermuring.
Is it talking extensively about Cork? And that's
don't
your
say,
only.
Is it? Give us the definition.
Kermuring is. Talking extensively about Cork.
Kermuring
is. In a mumbly voice. Cork murmuring. That's where it comes from.
Kermuring is when a man from Cork looks like a bird.
Mm-hmm. Kermuring.
Kermuring.
It's like a murmur that goes around a corner.
Mm. One of those has got to be right,
yeah,
I think.
You're very close. It's kind of a mix of all of them.
Is it? Yeah.
It's. A low rumbling sound produced by the lower bowels.
Oh, that's so good. Oh.
That's something that happens to Rory quite often.
He's our official team kermurer.
Mm.
Really,
if you ever hear weird noises on the show, that's probably what it is. Is yeah. Rory's digestive system yeah. processing yeah. something.
That's him kermuring.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the next one. And I can't be positive I'm pronouncing this properly. Calipigian.
Ooh.
Calipigian.
Okay.
Calipigian is when a man from Cork looks like a bird.
A man who's lived in California looks like a pigeon. Looks like a bird.
A man who's from Cork who's lived in California. Canton. Calipigian.
Can you spell it, please?
C-A-L-L-I-P-Y-G-I-A-N.
Can you use it in a sentence?
I think that would be giving it away.
Sneaky bastard.
Oh, this you saw my plan.
Yeah.
Well, Calipigian, of course, means to insult someone's ancestry.
So how would you use that in a sentence?
Oh, you're...
Directed at me.
That Moira's an awful Calipigian. She's always going on about... About my grandfather's armpit hair.
Mm. Okay. James? Calipigian.
It's like when a rat crawls into a can and dissolves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's close.
It's that happens so often they need a word for that.
I can use it in a sentence.
Please.
Okay,
please.
Gross. There's a thing in the can. A calipigian. In the can.
Nice.
Like very it. Nice.
Calipigian is having beautifully shaped buttocks.
Oh, again, that's by Rory.
Calipigian. Whoa, check out those.
She's highly Calipigian, or she, would you say she is a Calipigian?
She is?
No, she would have.
Yeah, nice. She's Calipigian.
She's Calipigian.
Yeah, I would guess.
Or he.
It's an adjective.
He or she.
Okay, what the fuck is a synonym for that? I want her to be like. Night. Wait.
Maybe there's not.
Sweet-assed.
Sweet-assed.
Sweet-assed. She's got a fine backside.
She's sweet-assed.
Okay. Here's another one. Lunting.
I know this one.
Oh, I know this one. I've definitely heard this word before. Can you spell it?
L-U-N-T-I-N-G. Lunting.
Lunting.
It's pronounced London, actually. And it's a city that Moira recently was in. I think you're spelling that wrong.
Are you going with that definition?
Yeah.
Can you please use it in a sentence?
More is just coming from Lanting. Isn't she?
No.
Yeah.
No. It's been Lanting, isn't it?
Do you have a nice time in Lanting?
It's not all right.
That's for Harry's share.
That's it. Moira, Lunting.
Lunting is a kind of very rare cancer
that affects
sex organs.
Mm-hmm. Okay, James.
Have you ever made like broth?
Like from chicken
bone? Yeah, you get the bones.
Yeah,
and then you put them in boiling water,
yeah,
and you leave them for a few hours, yeah, and then there's the scum.
Yeah.
And you scoop the scum off, and then when you're cleaning the pot, it reacts with the soap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that?
That's the reaction is the lunting?
No, the thing. The result.
Okay. What you're doing is lunting.
The effort.
The effort is lunting. That's good. In fact, lunting is walking while smoking a pipe.
So I was going to use it in a sentence, but now I guess I don't have to.
No, you could. I think you can also go for a lunt. You can be lunting, or you can go for a quick lunt on your lunch break.
Wait, Annie, what the hell are the scores so far?
You guys are all failing. Mr.
What?
James is winning. Obviously, James is winning. He's the only one who's really playing with any kind of character.
That's kind.
We're going to do one more. We're going to do one more, and Mark and Moira have a chance to redeem yourselves. Fuzzle.
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 James, you go first.
It's like a bald cat. Isn't it? I think so.
Fuzzle.
It is.
Mm. Moira?
I was going to say that it's a piano teacher on heroin.
Mm-hmm. You sound like you've had experience with that.
She's met many a fuzzle in her life.
Oh, my last piano teacher. Such a fuzzle.
What a fuzzle.
Well, fuzzle, of course, is when your keys get sucked up by the vacuum cleaner and you have to sort through the vacuum cleaner to try and find your keys. It's a kind of a fuzzle.
It's a fuzzle. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice. I like that, actually. Mm-hmm. Fuzz puzzle. Mm-hmm. It's to make drunk or inebriate. You can fuzzle somebody if you spike the punch.
Looks like I win.
I'm going to fuzzle you. Yeah, yours was the only one that had to do with
drugs.
Substances. Of adult substances of some kind. But I still think James was the overall winner.
I have to go.
Fuzzle that.
Just because you lost?
I have to go. I have to go to the bathroom. I don't know.
Such a poor
loser.
I
just have to go to the bathroom.
All right, so what else did you guys have planned for
this evening's podcast?
Do you want to sing a goodbye song? Do you want to sing yourself off the show?
You can walk out while singing a song.
Yeah, that's
good. But I want to make sure you guys just let me know what else happens.
We can't tell you that.
Just tell me.
The best bit is yet to come.
Yeah.
It involves ice cream, a flying tiger. And did we get the bologna sandwich?
One thing I wanted to, speaking of bologna, mention is that James and I next week are going to be performing a night that I'm putting on at Temple Bar Gallery at Studios. It's Studio 6. It's at 7 o'clock on Tuesday. Next week is the 27th. It's called Meat Scandal. And it's going to be a lot of fun, I think. So please come.
What kind of thing happens there?
It's a performance, writing and reading comedy performance kind of thing. Avoiding the term spoken word. Much like I feel uncomfortable with calling us an improv comedy group, I'm always like, I'm in a comedy group.
Yeah.
And then Rory always makes fun of me because I don't like the word improv from what it denotes.
I know what you mean.
But I was going to say that also Annie and Mark and Rory, I'm like, we're all going to be doing something, but I was thinking I have a song for us to sing.
Okay.
Next week.
And we also have to rehearse that play that Cyrus Luddy wrote.
Yeah. We got a lot.
Did you guys look at it?
I did.
Okay. All right, good.
You're going to have to assign parts.
Yeah, I'll do that maybe when I go home tonight.
We can't all be the same person.
Dracula, I think it's spoken for.
Obviously.
Right, so? That's me, is it?
Yes.
Okay.
So, yeah, come down to the scandal of the meat, also known as Meat Scandal.
Next week, please.
Next Tuesday. Week from today.
7 o'clock. And I'm gonna make some baked goods and sell them, maybe. I don't know.
Wow. Nice. And I'll see you tomorrow.
Going into the Fumbly?
No. I'm never going in there while you're working. Oh. I just distract you.
It's true. I'll see you tomorrow at the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Maura, sing us your song as you leave.
Sing us your song as you leave.
Don't go far because it's over soon. You're gonna regret leaving. Little baby ketchup is a screaming little druid. Can I sing a song? I've got all this bodily fluid. Don't worry about it. It's almost over.
Well, as Moira fades into the background.
I love a song that mentions bodily fluid.
Yes.
Yeah.
And what are your favorite bodily fluid songs? Blister in the Sun.
Nice. Oh. Gosh, way to come up with one right there. There's a blood.
I'm going to take this.
Yeah, go for it.
A blood, blood.
Oh, ergonomic.
Yeah.
There's not a great song about pus. Ooh. Pus might be my favorite bodily fluid.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Bye, guys.
Like, bye, Lara.
See ya.
I think pus is, yeah.
Well, it's good, right?
Yeah, pus is very satisfying. And yeah. It's not, like, blood is a bit like, ugh. But pus can be quite...
Pus brings a lot of pain with it, doesn't it, though?
Not always.
Isn't it like your body winning?
Yeah.
Is it your body
it's
winning?
It's your first defenses. It's all the bad stuff killing all... It's great when you've got a splinter or something and it's a little painful. A splinter comes out and then all the ooze that was protecting you from all the bad stuff comes oozing out.
Have you ever seen those online forums where it just...
Oh, yeah, people are obsessed with pus.
It's really gross.
They're like whole videos of people popping pimples. And I'm less a pimple person, more a blackhead person. I like my pus to be a bit... on the harder side than the gooier side. This is getting disgusting now.
This is just stolen from the Adam and Joe podcast, which I was just listening to. But one of their listeners, he had blood underneath his nail. Ooh. So he decided to take his drill and drill into his nail to relieve the blood. I mean, how was that a good idea? But it went too far, obviously.
Yeah.
And he kind of pulled it away and like... damage the bone in his finger with his drill.
You would.
Yeah.
How? Yeah.
That's a Darwin Award. When
do you think that's
situation?
A good one? Good idea.
Oh no, not a good idea. It's surprising. Yeah, bodily fluids. We can move on. Let's move on from bodily fluids. Let's just.
All right.
Let's leave that topic behind.
Do you want a quick round of everybody's favorite other quiz? The film quote quiz.
Yes.
Okay, so jeez. I'm gonna.
You'll learn quickly.
I'm gonna read a famous quote, said by an actor, but I'm gonna read it as an impression, which I may or may not be able to do, by somebody else. So you have to guess what the film is and who I'm trying to do an impression of.
But the impression is not from the person who's in the film.
Okay.
Yeah. So here we go. Let me figure this out now. Coming up now. It's very soon. Take your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty ape.
Okay, so that was Hugh Jackman.
James.
Can I guess either?
You can guess either or both.
Was from the film Planet of the Apes.
It is.
Was it Russell Crowe?
It was Russell Crowe. That is 2 points to James.
Whoa!
Straight up.
James. Nice.
Do you want to go for one, Annie?
Sure. This is the page I had last time. Bullshit.
Okay, fine. You do whatever you goddamn like.
I think I will. Ah, la, 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 la. I'm just making some music while I decide.
Please, ah, la, that's lovely. La, 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 la,
la. I don't know who some of these people are.
Well, you know, just give us your best attempt.
He won't come after me. He won't. I can't explain it. He would consider that rude. I would just like to say I think I nailed this.
God. Say it. Can you give it again, please?
He won't come after me. He won't. I can't explain it. He would consider that rude.
You would consider that rude. That sounds familiar.
Ooh. It's not like Pride and Prejudice, is it?
Well, I think that's the voice. Is it Emma Thompson?
No.
Julie Andrews?
No.
Kate Winslet?
It's not. It's no.
No. The film is Interview with a Vampire?
No.
Does it have vampires?
No.
Does it have werewolves?
No.
Does it have the mummy?
It's got something scarier than all of those things.
I know what it is. It's Hannibal Lecter. Yeah. Silence of the Lambs.
Yes.
And who is that voice? I mean, if that's not an English accent.
It absolutely was an English accent. You got that bit right.
Is it a woman?
No.
No. Okay. It's quite a high-pitched man.
Kind of is a little bit. Gotta say.
Ooh, James, what have you got?
I have literally no idea.
Shit.
A high-pitched man.
Hugh.
Relatively. Like, obviously not as high-pitched as a woman like me.
Yeah. Like.
I didn't do vocal warm-ups, okay?
Okay, I give up. What is it?
John Cleese.
Okay.
That was John Cleese in either Fawlty Towers or Fish Called Wanda. Or Life of Brian.
Yeah. I guess at certain times, yeah. He's up there.
Yeah.
James, do you want to give us one?
I have never done an impression.
Yes!
Nice.
Perfect.
There's a first time for everything.
And I've really only started watching films this year.
Okay.
Fantastic.
But you know the concept of what a film is.
It's about 2 hours long.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
I don't know who any of these people are. I really don't want to humiliate myself. I feel too much pressure.
Is this the quote now?
No. This is just one.
Alright, just give us the quote and...
Yeah.
Just imagine a woman speaking.
Yep.
I'm not bad. I'm trying to do a high pitched voice.
That's good. You're doing a great job.
I'm just drawn that way. But I might have got that wrong. I'm sure it's fine.
I think that's an impeccable impersonation of Kathleen Turner.
Yeah.
As Jessica Rabbit.
Who framed
Roger Rabbit?
Did you know that was on that page?
No, that's a famous quote.
Oh.
I'm glad you put me out of my misery. I was...
I'm gonna do one more. I gotta think about this for a second. Someone has to die in order that the rest of us should value life more. There's no way you're going to get this film.
Someone has to die.
No way you're going to get the
film. Sorry, say it again.
Someone has to die in order that the rest of us should value life more. It's a doozy.
Is that Roger Rabbit?
Nope.
For Thuckatash.
It's not quite that big, but it's a little bit like this. It's like probably less. I was doing it for effect. But it is a little bit like that.
Shit. I don't know either.
I can't give you the real quote from the movie because I can give you the movie quote in a voice more like the movie, but I still don't think you'll get the movie.
You can't give us the full movie quote. Can you give us it with a blank in it? Like, is there a person's name?
You will know. It's one of the most famous quotes in all of movie history. That the voice that I was doing.
Oh, the voice. This
is not the quote that I read. If I gave you...
Oh, inconceivable.
No, not Wally Shawn. No. But that's close. That's good. That's another one.
Shit.
Good. It's, the quote from the movie, which neither of you will get, is from The Hours. It's Virginia Woolf in The Hours.
Stones in her pockets.
Yep. That was... Jerry, did you know the human head weighs 8 pounds?
Very nice. Jerry Maguire.
Jerry Maguire.
Well, on that bombshell, thanks for tuning in once again.
Thank you for joining us, James.
Thank you.
If you want more of this Cutology, you can listen to our podcast. There's loads of previous episodes there. It's probably the best way to find it is to go to markcantan.com and go to the Goose page on that website, and you will find it there.
You'll find us there.
Or else you can search for it on iTunes, or else you can go feeds.feedburner.com/The Goose Podcast, and you can listen to lots of episodes there. As well as this, hopefully, will be podcasted soon there as well. James, anything you'd like to plug?
I have a web show. We're looking for submissions for
what,
like.
What kind of web show?
It's an international internet art. Cool. Basically.
Where do people find that?
We're called the Blue Bottle Collective, but we set up our Facebook wrong. So if you look up Blue Bottle, as opposed, so like the object as opposed to the fly.
Okay. Welcome. Gotcha. Okay. So you're more, but you wanted to be the fly, but you are the object now.
Yeah, that was my. I didn't realize there's a difference.
I didn't either.
Yeah.
There's. But I can. I now that you said it, I know that there is, but I didn't.
Yeah. You know.
Blue bottle. I'd forgotten about that though. But I think it's nicer to be the object than the insect.
Well, that's it's an ongoing.
You're more like an empty vessel that you can fill up now with all these great things, all these great solutions.
But we're also a fly. In that way.
Okay, fly in the ointment.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Annie, have you anything to plug?
I don't think so.
Doing nothing with your life.
Doing absolutely nothing.
Yeah, me too.
My life.
Yeah.
Meat scandal. Where plug
meat scandal.
Meat scandal. No, I've got nothing coming up to the end later in the year.
Very good. Well, that's it for this week. We'll see you here on RadioMade.ie in a fortnight. We're
going to
leave you with some Stevie Wonder.
Ta-da.
Okay, that's still our theme tune playing over and over.
That was our theme tune. Yeah.
This is working well. No, it's going great.
It's whatever, guys. Bye. Whatever. Bye. Bye-bye.